Yeah, hello.
Ah, hello.
Good afternoon.
Here we are. Good afternoon.
Guten Tag. Tell me.
Hello, hello. We are three people here. I am Peter. Hello.
Yeah.
And with Mupak and me is also Miro.
Yeah, so hello, Larry. Nice to hear you.
Yeah, nice to be with you guys today, too.
Okay. First off, let's start a little bit about the radio network itself. Who's making these broadcasts? Is it a certain kind of staff, or are you a big pool of people, or is it dynamic?
Well, thank you for having me on your program. And for us, as refugees ourselves, me and my partners and the refugee community, we decided to have a voice on digital platform, and radio is one of that. And we are the voice of refugees in Germany, in Europe, and these programs are produced by refugees. We are all myself, my colleagues, and the volunteering teams. We have volunteering supporters who help us with the translations and things like that. But for gathering the news about refugees, it's basically done by us. We do all the traveling ourselves. We do all the news gathering ourselves. Editing, cutting, and distribution is done totally by refugees.
Okay, so you have full control over your broadcast.
Yeah, no censorship.
Very good. What range of topics do you cover? Is there any focus, or are you open for everything?
Actually, it's we center around the refugee issues, the Flüchtling problem, this Flüchtling situation, and we project the real story. We project positive story also coming out from refugees, because there's a stereotype that refugees don't know anything, they cannot contribute to the society. So we use the radio to kind of get messages out to the wider community that refugees can do meaningful things, they can contribute positively to the society. So we talk, we do a lot of things. We use poetry, we do theater, we use different mediums to get the message out. So we talk politics, of course. We do activism. We go on the streets sometimes to cover protests that has to do with refugee issues. And we also gather information, do interviews, connect with refugees in refugee camps all over Europe. That's what we do, and that's how we do it.
And where can we listen to your broadcast?
You could find us on the internet 24 hours. We have a 24-hour stream at refugeeradionetwork.wix.com/RRAN or refugeeradionetwork.net.
Okay.
And you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on TuneIn also. You could find on different platforms, TuneIn, Radio Tuna, and so on and so forth. You could find us on the internet. Just Google Refugee Radio Network and you'll find us.
All right. And how do refugees get to you? How get they in touch with you? Can they just come to you, or do they call you? How can their voice be heard, or how can they get their message to you?
Well, we have a network of outreach on how to get to refugees and how to reach refugees in different camps all over Europe. Because of that network that we have the ability to get in touch with refugees everywhere in Europe. They do call us. And we've received a lot of telephone calls. They request for things. They request for interviews. If they have a situation in their camps in the south of Italy, they call us and tell us the situation, that there is a protest going on. They are fighting for dignity. We say, okay, hold on. We patch it through the recording device and we record what's happening on the other side. And we publish it. That's what we do.
Okay, so you travel there by yourselves and bring your recording device, or you send them the recording device? How is it working?
Well, modern technology is good. Just as I'm talking with you on the telephone now.
Okay, you do it like we do.
I could patch it in and record what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's very easy to do.
That's very comfortable. And when we talk about the refugees, is there a certain group which tries to come to Europe, or is it people from every age or every gender, or is this a special? Are these special people where you can say it's only people around 30, or it's old people, young people?
Well, the refugee situation now has changed in the last couple of years. People that are moving now, people are moving for different reasons, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And reasons of war, reasons of human rights violation. You have people coming from all over the globe. And you've seen an increase in the movements from Syria.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen an increase in the movement from Libya, sub-Saharan African. And the age group of people coming is diverse. You have young, but most of them are very young, between the age of 16 and 25. These are the sub-Saharan Africans coming.
Mm-hmm.
For the Syrians, they are moving in the family grouping. So you have middle-aged people between the age of also 16, even between the age of 10, because families are moving.
Mm-hmm.
And they are moving and escaping and running for their lives so that they could stay alive and continue their life progressively. And they all move towards Europe. So that's the situation.
Okay, and which hopes do they have? Which hopes do they connect with getting to Europe? What are they expecting?
Well, everybody is expecting freedom, equality, dignity, justice for to have a good life, you know. So
mm-hmm.
this kind of situation does not really exist like that in other countries, apart from. I mean, when I mean does not exist, I mean full freedom of expression is not really allowed in some countries because of government policies and so on and so forth. You could get into trouble if you say some things against the government or against your country. I mean, if you raise your opinions, you could get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that is most of the things that is driving people out of their homes. And war also has also increased the movement, the stabilization of security situations in countries like Libya, Nigeria, the Boko Haram problem.
Mm-hmm.
So people are moving because of war. Majority of the people leaving and coming are war victims. Majority of them.
Okay, and is there, I don't know if you can say that or if anyone can say that, is there, can you say how long it takes to get to Europe? So,
well,
how long does the journey take?
You don't, some people are coming all the way from Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Some people take months.
Mm-hmm.
Some take years to get to Europe.
No.
No? They have to transit through different countries. And if you don't have funds, if you don't have enough money to move along these routes, these routes,
mm-hmm.
then you end up staying 1 year, 2 years to, in order to get to Europe. And we've seen a lot of transit camps in Libya, in Morocco, in Turkey, so on and so forth.
Okay, and in the end, when someone makes it to Europe, is there a way for them to live, to work, to earn money?
Well, that's another process. Well, that's the dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy. Europe has got a lot of rules and procedures has to be followed. First of all, you must be identified. Second of all, you must apply for political asylum. And third of all, you have to integrate into the European society, and that takes years. Then you start walking and so on and so forth. So that's the story.
Okay, so it's sort of a yeah, big part of life to first get to Europe and then really.
I mean, when you've lost everything, maybe coming from war, violence, and you lost everything, and you are in a new society, it's like you are a newborn baby, just starting life from zero. So you pick yourself up, pick your courage up, and start moving. That's what we do.
And if you, sorry, I just have to look at my, you know, is it, is there an increase in refugees, or is there just an increase in media coverage, or is there, is it both? Because I have the impression that, yeah, we hear a lot about this topic just since a few months, but I don't think that refugees exist only since a few months. So, what do you say? Has the media changed, or the awareness, or have the numbers risen?
Yeah, I understand your question. I understand it. Yes, it's a shame that the situation has been like this for many years, and the media has really, the mainstream media has really given it little attention. Of course, these mainstream media are controlled by government, so they've really not told the story as it should have been told. They only picked it up when people started dying of recent. And the media is on top of it, and they are asking for interviews left and right, center, like that. The situation of the refugees has been there for many years. People have been neglected. Even in Europe, lives have been, fundamental rights have been violated on a large scale, in Germany, in Greece, in Italy, and the media has not covered it. Just now that they are picking up and covering it. You saw what happened in Hanover, police brutality, brutalizing migrants in police custody. So we saw it happened in Italy a year ago. And these things have been there for many years. You see the Golden Dawn do a lot of bad things to refugees in Greece. These are fascist organizations who go in with guns, vigilantes, and kill refugees. We see what is happening in Spain, between Morocco and Spain. People are being shot with guns in Europe. So for me, there's a lot of problem here in Europe as we faced it in Africa or in all these countries that people are running away from. People end up in the hands of mafia groups in Italy, in Bulgaria. They end up working as slave labor for many hours without getting good pay, no good accommodation, and so the situation is just like that.
Okay, and when they are in this slave labor situation, do they have a chance to just start this bureaucratic process that you mentioned earlier, which was seeking political asylum and all that, or are they trapped?
Seeking political asylum is one step. You could end up having that. You could end up seeking asylum for 2 years. That's how long it can take. And within that process, you are not allowed to work. You are not allowed to take up employment. Those are the rules of Europe. If you are under asylum process, you cannot work. So countries like Germany, they give you welfare of maybe 300 euros a month to live on. Countries like Italy, France, and the rest of them give you less. So the situation is not that straightforward as it looks. It's so fluid, it's so complicated. There's a lot of judicial rules that one has to go through, you know. Very difficult process. And the refugee is left in limbo, and they play politics in Brussels with the refugee and migrant situation. Dublin 2, Dublin 3, refugee situation still remains the same. So we need to step up and push the political leaders to take real concrete actions in solving this mess that we are in. This is Europe. This is not a third world country. Europe should live up to its expectations. We need to stand up for human rights. It's very important.
Okay, and do you have political interest groups? Do you have anything to, to lobby and to influence people for your cause?
We are trying our best. We network with a lot of political organizations that have been there for many years, trying to advocate for fair way of life for migrants in Europe. Of course, the political leaders in Brussels have been really adamant.
Mm-hmm.
But at this minute, I think we are changing slowly, but we keep up the pressure on them.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can get a good resolution from it all. Unfortunately, it's a shame that people have to die before they take, before the European leaders take action. So that's just the situation.
Or it is people raising their voice about people dying, and then politicians might take action. I don't have the impression that it matters if someone dies. It's just if someone finds it irritating that someone dies and talks about it, that they.
Okay, my friend, it's not what you agree with. It's what I know. It's what I experience as a refugee. So I'm telling you my experience.
Yeah.
And I've been on this activism issue for almost 4 years now. So I know what I'm telling you. If you don't agree, what is this policy of?
No, I agree totally with you. It's just that
Italy was saving lives a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
The European Union said, "Why is Italy saving lives?" And they cut Mare Nostrum operations. What happened? What they said was that if people die, they will not come anymore. So don't rescue them, let them die. So people, they think young people of 16 and 25 do care. They don't care. They will take that risk. And that's why you see the increase in the deaths earlier this year. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that 700 people will drown in European waters and European leaders are not really doing anything about it. The refugees are not happy about it. I mean, 12 people died in France, in Jesuit Charlie, during the Charlie Hebdo massacre. And everybody was on the street marching. How many people have marched for refugees in Europe? 700 of them died. Come on, guys. Let us live up to the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Larry, now it's Miro. I have another question to you. First of all, that are really awful things you told us, and it stuck a little bit. You told us about the media, the mainstream media, and that there's that are such informations right now. I hear from you that are not in the mainstream media, but at the last. For 3 weeks, there is the suggestion from German politicians to put refugees all over all European states. So you know what I mean?
I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
German politicians, are you sure about that information?
Can you repeat, please?
Are you sure that it's German politicians that said that?
Not just German, but there are such politicians like Poland or Great Britain politicians. They don't want. There are many interest groups.
Even Germany does not even want it.
I'm really sure that they don't want it. Because they have such interest.
They don't agree with it. They've said they don't agree with this quota sharing. So we are still in the same place we had a year ago.
Okay, but
take the right action.
Okay, but just you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about in the mainstream media. And my question now is, what do you think? Is that a good? Solution, or not a good, but a okay solution. What do you think about that? Is it better, or is it?
You mean in the sharing of refugees all over Europe?
Yes.
Is it a good situation, a solution or not? That's what you're asking me, right?
Yes.
Well, sharing does not really solve the refugee problem. Okay? But it's a first step. First of all, save lives. We believe in that principle.
Yes.
Responsibility to protect. First thing is to save lives. Then we can now evaluate how to integrate those lives into the society. That's the second step. So if Europe says they should share because there's a lot of burden on Italy, Italy cannot do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they must share this responsibility. They belong to the same club of the European Union.
Yes.
So why can't they share it? Of course, Germany and France are saying, no, they already have enough refugees and they cannot take any more. Come on, guys. There's more refugees in Lebanon and Jordan and in Kenya and in all these places, more than in Europe. So why can't Europe just take a few thousands of people? There's millions of refugees in Lebanon.
Yeah, I know it's like 1.5 million in Lebanon. I heard that it's
in Dabaq refugee camp.
It's a huge
Kenya,
amount.
It's the same thing in Sudan, in Nigeria. There are refugees all over the place, and Europe is just refusing to just accept a few that are coming. And they created a situation for these people to come in the first place. Because if you didn't bomb Libya and destroy Libya, we would not be where we are today.
Okay, so it's not really a solution, you mean? Or does it maybe does it improve, or is it, could it possible that it improves?
Not a final solution, but it is part of a solution. It's
okay.
Not a final solution. It's part of a solution.
Okay.
First thing is to rescue lives first.
Yeah.
Second is to integrate the life. So when you are rescuing somebody, you must give him shelter, you must give him food, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Any questions, please?
It's Peter again. Do you know, or do you have any numbers on which countries, which part of Europe are, so to say, preferred as a target, or as the end of the journey, if a journey can end?
Well, of course, many people want to go to richer European countries, and you know the richer European countries: United Kingdom, Germany, Sweden, Norway. Those are the destinations that these refugees want to go because they want a good life for themselves. They can't see a future of that life in Italy or Spain. Life is, this economic crisis is not also helping.
So they have to transit through countries even when they have reached Europe.
Yes, the journey has not started yet.
Okay.
One is three-phase journey. One is to first of all get to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Don't die in the Sahara Desert. You don't die in the Mediterranean. Then the next step is to survive in Europe, which is the most difficult part. That's it. Surviving in Europe is very difficult. You need the documents. You need the legal status. You need to learn the language. You need to start going back to school again from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It's really psychologically a difficult task.
Yes, for sure. And now it's Mupak again. I get a question because we are talking much about Italy and the refugees arriving there. And one of your, you are broadcasting in Italy as well. Did you, made this for you because you wanted to reach the refugees there and the people there because it's one of the first countries they arrive? Or I read you want to broadcast all over Europe, which is really a great idea. And is it just Italy was the first other country which said, yes, we could do such a radio broadcasting? Or how does it come that you said, well, Italy first?
Listen, this refugee radio situation is a way to empower the refugees themselves.
Yeah.
The refugees are all over Europe. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why we try our best to do to have workshops, to travel to many countries. France. I was in France 2 times. I was in Italy for many times. Spain. We try to go to where refugees are, and to empower them so that they can have their voice on radio, and they can also have information before they come to Europe, and when they are in Europe, how to deal with the situation, how to conform to the European ways of doing things, because they are coming from a different cultural background. They need someone to really explain the situation to them that, well, my friends, my brothers, you are here. In Europe is totally different to Africa or to Arabia. They have a lengthy process they follow. They have their laws. We need to go around these laws in order to survive.
Need
to obey these laws in order to get into the society. That's what we try to do with Refugee Radio. And we are trying our best. In 6 months, we've really done a lot of work, and we still hope to do more. Of course, there is no help coming from anywhere. We do it ourselves because we are the refugees. We know where it pinches. We know where it hurts.
Yeah, so you have to fight against many different people, policy, for example, the politicians who say, no, don't bring your broadcast on it. So.
Yeah, but so we don't care.
Yeah, that's really good. I think it's really good work you do, and to reach many refugees, because so many people just don't know what to do here because they are just in another country and in another part of the world.
Exactly.
And another question from me again, Miro. You told us about the murder in the Europe on the borders, at the borders, for example, in Spain. Did you have any success already to bring this information, like, more or less to medias, to mainstream medias, you know what I mean?
Mainstream media does.
Of course, not mainstream medias, but maybe bigger local medias.
Yeah, of course, the whole thing is on the internet. It's on YouTube. You could find it. Thousands of videos are on YouTube and Facebook every day. So, just need to focus on how to read it. No mainstream media wants to publish such stories, you know? They don't. They don't want to do that. BBC will not do it. NDR will not do it. So you have to rely on raw footages on YouTube and on Facebook. And a lot of people have been able to watch such things going on. There's a movie, there's a documentary, movie producers, independents have shot a lot of good documentaries on the real situations.
Yes.
And people are following them on YouTube. They are taking it, they are premiering it in different cities.
Yes.
And that's the only way we could reach, because mainstream media will not publish such things. So we have to just work with independent movie producers, shoot real stories, then distribute it in community centers, workshops. That's the only way we can get the message across.
Okay, and now for the people who hear this interview, which are some good documentaries, good movies, who bring this information out, you told us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it like, for example, you can see I don't know whether you know the project On the Bright Side, where it is a bit focused on this refugee, on the ways of refugee to get to Europe and to get from Italy to another country in Europe? Or can people who listen to this interview and they haven't any idea of the topic right now, where can they inform themselves and what kind
of
documentary?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Pardon?
I did not create YouTube. I did not create
No.
And Facebook is there and Google is there. Just Google it. The videos will come out. I can't direct you to any link because I don't have rights to do that. Okay?
Okay. Okay, but one last question from me, because I mean, with this success, how many people do you reach right now? How many people know about this? Do you have any like numbers?
Yes, we have numbers, of course. We have on our Facebook followership of 401 and 8 on another 250 on one, that's 600 Facebook followership. Mira, we are there climbing up the hundreds. So far so good on our team management. We've been able to cross the 3,000 listening capacity. So we've reached more than 3,000 people with our broadcast, different on multiple platforms.
Okay, that sounds good. So then we hope we can help a little bit for this refugee radio network, and
would appreciate that,
and the other channels to push.
Yes, if you can help us to push more people to listen. That's why we do most of the programs. We are trying to do it in many languages: German, English, French. And we have broadcast on local FM stations here in Hamburg.
Yes.
We have two radio stations that we broadcast from every week. And we also have partners in Austria, in Italy, in France, like that. So we are gradually, we just started in November. Our first broadcast was done December 22nd. And we've tried our best to get the message out. We were on Al Jazeera a few months ago. We reached some 40 million people. So for us, the journey is still a long journey, and we are going on this journey step by step. We are not in a hurry. We are not competing with NDR or BBC or Al Jazeera. We are just doing our own work, telling our own story.
That sounds very, very good. That's really good work you do. And we really hope that we could help your work and your journey to increase it. And we hope you keep your work. And we really thank you, or want to thank you, for this interview.
Thank you, too, for giving us the opportunity. And thank you for trying to find out about what's happening, and I wish your radio program also success and your projects also success. Okay,
if thank you
need
you very
anything
much.
Do not hesitate to let us know.
All right,
to cooperate with different people.
Thank you.
Thank
maybe
you.
We will talk again sometime soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye
a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.